And this is part of the formal process of the interviews. So Honorable Majosi, I was talking to them to give you an opportunity to arrive, and you are then formally part of this meeting and recorded as being present. So you're part of the interview panel. These ones were making jokes here so that we could wait for you to arrive. So you must thank your neighbor. The one who was making the most jokes was Groenewald in his absence. But Tablanche, he saves the day every day. Honorable Tablanche, you really save the day. No, whenever, even in the meetings. General, you are a general. You are really a general. We really have to give you recognition. You, Sheikh Imam, you know our members, we really work together as a team. And even when you saw with the budget vote, it was a teamwork, it was a team effort. Majosi, we appreciate the teamwork that we put together. Honorable Shembeni, Sheikh Imam, we really appreciate the team effort. Honorable Groenewald, you know, he's been on this committee long, we respect him. All our members, Whitfield, we respect. Meshu, we respect this committee. I think we can really say it's a respected committee. Honorable Majosi?
No, thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, colleagues. I think I'm partly covered by other honorable members who have spoken before in terms of scoring a scoring sheet as well. But I don't have any problems with the questions that are drafted here. But then I would think that maybe as members would have a different understanding of the response that we're going to get. So I would preferably if it was a content of saying, because now we'll have different questions that will be coming maybe from Honorable Sheikh Imam, and then he will be asking these questions based on his understanding and maybe what he wants to get from the candidate. And we don't have a clue what is it that he's expecting, or maybe according to the question, how should the candidate maybe be able to respond to those questions. So if maybe these questions had a mini draft that a candidate should focus on these sections when answering, when responding to these questions, so that it makes the scoring even easier, and not easier, but it makes it to be more, what's the word? My God. Yeah, fair. It makes it to be fair to the candidate, because I'll be scoring here based on what I understand, and another honorable member will be scoring that candidate based on their understanding and on their questions that they will be asking and seeking whatever information from that candidate. So if we don't have that information, how are we then going to balance the two in terms of scoring and fairness? Thank you, Chair.
Chairperson, may I say something?
Honorable Tablanche?
Thank you, Chairperson, and sorry, members, I have no intention to keep on talking. I just want to, that is very important what she raised now. Normally, Chairperson, a scoring sheet, a professional scoring sheet is, you know, designed and formulated in such a way, and I'm just going to make an example. Let's say the one question or the one part of a certain question or questions, let's say the one is focusing on the experience and qualifications. And obviously then, you know, we will be scoring that person, and, you know, based on what that poor person is conveying to the panel. And if the other stuff is maybe going to be about the experience and whatever, you know, stuff like that. So what I'm trying to convey, Honorable Member, is that we need to have a professional drafted, you know, a scoring sheet, and they are available. I mean, you know, I've been working with this stuff for ages. So, but anyway, enough said.
Honorable members, to assist on this matter of the scoring sheet, there's a standard scoring sheet for boards and council. There's a standard operating procedure which compelled us, it's compulsory to have a scoring sheet. So it is not a matter of we want one. It is a matter of you must have one. I've been a minister, you must have a scoring sheet.
You must have.
So, honorable members, let us not debate on it. There's two things which you must do. There's a standard set of questions which you must ask. You must ask the candidates the same question, so that one candidate is not unfairly advantaged or disadvantaged. Your follow-up question may be different. But if you ask a question on the ethics, or the morality and the ethics, financial ethics, you must ask it to all candidates. On that one, there were candidates who we had, when we did the security clearance, there were candidates who had problems with their credit records, personal finances. I took a legal opinion on that, and the parliamentary lawyer said that they cannot be disqualified because it's not a criminal offence, but that it must be stated to the panel. Clearly, because I asked, if you cannot manage your own finances, how do you do oversight over the finances of a critical infrastructure council? And I take strong exception if you cannot manage your own personal finances if you've been put into such a senior position. Colleagues, that was my opinion, that we need to be informed about the members who did have those concerns about their credit worthiness, if it was flagged, that the committee members should be informed about it. Honourable Sheikh Imam?
I agree with you wholeheartedly what you're saying there, but and added to that is that if persons are having great financial difficulties, that's what opens the way for corruption and all those things. So this is what you've got to be careful. And I know where it comes from, that people can be, because of the situation and loss of employment, but people particularly that have got great financial difficulties are those weak links that people try to get to, and that is where the corruption starts. So we've got to be very careful about that. And I think it's an important factor. And particularly if you have a position of responsibility like we have here. Thank you.
Honorable Ross, you are correct. Those are my concerns exactly, Honorable Sheikh Imam. You know, as I said to you, if you cannot manage your finances, you are vulnerable and susceptible to all kinds of funny things. Honorable Ross, and then Honorable Majozi, and then Honorable Shembeni.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Chairperson, the advert is very clear. The advert clearly states what is the requirements of this process. We can just add a few things, the one you raised and the Honourable Imam raised. But also, as the council, infrastructure council, they must have at least more than less of a national background. And I mean, the PMMA is clear. Because they're going to deal also with the issue of the PMMA. The PMMA tell you strictly where to go off and where to go to.
Thank you, Honorable Moss. Honorable Shembeni, and then Majozi.
Thank you, Chair. I don't know what you think. Something is not right here. Yes, I wanted to come to that. We must have the so-called now, the questions that we all have, the same questions, as I said. If something must be added there from the nine, we add one maybe from Sheikh Imam, Honorable Sheikh Imam, and one maybe from Honorable De Blanche, and then we make them 11, and then the case is closed, because we cannot start afresh. We must ask the people based on the same questions. And I think we must know who asked what.
Yeah.
That's it, finish at last. That's the chair said question one, who's going to ask question two, who's going to ask question three, how many are we?
Thank you, Honorable Shembeni.
what we will do is now, when we have completed this discussion, you can prepare your question. I'll go through all the members. I'll start with Honorable Peacock. If you want to ask one of the questions here, then you'll indicate which question you will ask. If you want to ask your own question, you will also then indicate what that question is so that it can be recorded. And then you ask all the candidates the same question. The follow-up question is not the same, because the follow-up question depends on what the candidate has answered. And questions may arise differently if a candidate omits certain things which you would like to know about. Your follow-up will differ. But I will allow you a follow-up question. That is why, honorable members, you will see that I allocated 1 hour to each interviewee. And that gives you enough time to interview the candidate. Remember, the Critical Infrastructure Council decides on whether a building is a secure building. It's very important decisions that you take on behalf of the country, not on behalf of SEPs. Honorable Majosi?
No, my hand on the subject.
All right, I'm going around. Shembeni, are you happy?
I am happy, but now the thing is, as Honorable Majosi mentioned, those questions, I think it was fair enough for us that the chairperson or either we should have discussed what are the expectations on those questions. What do you expect? Because Honorable De Blanche might have his different view.
Sorry, can I just quickly interact with Mr. Lobby? I need to hear you, and can I just apologize? Honorable members, I'm sorry, Honorable Shebeni, I just had to interact with Mr. Lobby. I'm trying to multitask. Honorable Shebeni, my apologies.
Thank you. Now, what I was trying to say are the expectations now. Say I've got question 5 that I'm going to ask. I'm just putting an example. That will be the so-called now the client when he or she answers. I will take the answer according to my understanding. I don't know how you understand it, the answer. Now, when it comes to the scoring, who will be doing the scoring? Is it one person or everybody?
Everybody.
You see? Yes. Yeah. Now, that's what I'm trying to come in. Mm-hmm. That now I've got my own answers that I expect when I ask the question. You have got your own. And then how are we going to rate that person? It's not fair. You give the person 0 according to your understanding. I give the person 10 according to my understanding.
What are
we expecting? We did not discuss this. Like if you look at question 8 and 9.
Honorable Shembeni,
yes.
Sorry for interrupting. Once you give me your questions, remember we must first all have our questions which we're going to ask the candidate. Once you have given me your question, we can then now as a team elaborate on what you expect in terms of that question. Any member can ask a follow-up question. And all members must rate the candidate according to, that is why you are a panel. So you must rate the candidate according to your expectations. So once you tell me which questions you're going to ask, we will have a common understanding, we'll discuss, that's why we're discussing, we're not just going into interviews cold, so that we have a common understanding of what we expect. Firstly, you as an interviewer, you may ask a follow-up question, but any member of the panel can also ask a follow-up question on another member's question. So if Honorable de Blanche asks a question and you are unhappy with the response, then you can ask a follow-up question to Honorable de Blanche's question. So it is not just the person on the panel who asks the question, who asks a follow-up on his or her question. The follow-up can come from any member from the panel. So if you're unhappy with the response, any member from the panel can ask a follow-up question. Do you need a minute to decide on your questions, or do you still have, I'm coming around, Honorable Sheikh Imam, do you have further comments?
Yeah, I thought you were going to which question, because I said I could answer on five.
You are happy with five?
Yes, Chair. But yeah, having said that, Chair, I think what Honorable Giovanni is trying to get at, and I think it's very important, is that what he's looking for, in my understanding, correct me if I'm wrong, is that all of us seated here must have some kind of common understanding as to what our expectations are.
Honorable Sheikh Imam, when we're done with deciding which questions, then we're going to discuss what we expect.
Thank you.
So can we first give the questions you're going to ask? So if you are going to, remember you said you wanted to still ask about the criminality or so. So can you formulate that question? And then we consolidate our question. Honorable de Blanche, do you have your questions?
Yes.
Can I give you 5 minutes just to consolidate your questions? Honorable de Blanche?
Chairperson, I'm happy. I will be asking, with your permission, question number 7.
Number 7?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Do you have any additional question, Honorable de Blanche?
No.
You asked for that. Okay. Then, Moss?
I will ask you question number 3.
Number 3, okay. And Honorable Patrin? Ah, Peacock, where's Patrin? Sorry, Patrin can't ask questions, ne? Do you all accept? Patrin, we said she's now too late.
Yeah.
So Patrin cannot ask questions. So Honorable Peacock. Sorry, I had Patrin to say she can't ask questions.
Okay.
Sorry, Peacock. You know, Honorable Patrin, she didn't call my Honorable Peacock, you know Honorable Patrin is like, she sits at the back of my gate. Come, let's, we will take that off record. Honorable Majosi, I will take question 6, Chair. Honorable Shembeni?
I'll take question 4.
Thank you very much. Honourable members, can I take it then in that order that the chair will do 1 and then next we'll ask Peacock and then next we'll ask Moss and then I'll ask Shembeni, Sheikh Imam, Majosi and De Blanche. Colleagues, you have 8 and 9 if you still want to ask 8 and 9. I don't know if you saw on page 2, there's 8 and 9. Should we, would you like us to include 8 and 9?
Honorable
Shembeni?
No, I was supporting Honorable Majosi that she's saying they might come up as follow-up questions.
We agree?
Yes.
Okay. So 8 and 9 could be follow-up. Yes.
Mm.
That is where Honorable Sheikh Imam, we're also looking about issues of integrity and risk management policies. All right. Now, Honorable Peacock, you. We all need a common understanding of question two. Mine is to ask experience and the qualifications, and maybe the candidate is expected to introduce him or herself. Question two, Honorable Peacock. Honorable members, with two, we just want a common understanding. Honorable Shekima? Yes, no, I thought you wanted to add. Honorable Peacock?
Chair, I think we only be concentrating on the understanding of the position itself, and as well as the
No, I mean you don't. There's nothing specific that you will be judging the candidate on. Thank you, Honourable Moss. Is there any specific matter that you would like to evaluate on your question? Okay, Honourable Shimbeni.
Before I answer mine, I wanted to go to question two.
Yes.
What is your understanding of critical infrastructure? Why should critical infrastructure in our country be protected? This is a very important question. What is it? When you talk about infrastructure, we're talking about buildings, yes. What type of buildings? That's what we want, yes.
This is the crux of the question. This captures whether the candidate knows what he or she is speaking about.
Yes.
Right.
And when we look at the buildings, somehow, there are no buildings, like the shooting ranges and whatever, there are no buildings, but this is part of critical infrastructure.
Okay. Thank you very much. Can we then get, so we know that the question two will give us a clear indication of what is the scope of the understanding of the candidate.
Yes.
Yes.
Honorable Mr. Blanche.
Yes, President, if you go to the Act,
yes.
If you go to the Act, Section 2 of that Act explains
yes.
exactly
what it is.
Exactly. That is what my suggestion would be. You could
Google the
Google
Act.
Google it on your phone. I have it here. Google it on your phone, and if necessary, you go to section regarding that question.
Yes,
go to section 2.
Honourable members, do you want us? Honourable members, quickly, do you want us to give you a copy of the Act?
Yes.
Do you want me to give you a copy of the Act?
Yes.
Honourable members, there's the technical question on all the scoring. So it is question one is not scoring. Colleagues, can we just break for a minute? Can we have a 5-minute break, please? So that we take it off record.
Can we just switch
up
our mic? Switch off the
I've asked for this document to be ready. So really, I also apologize. We've had a number of hiccups. You won't believe me how getting logistics when you are not meeting people. Logistics goes crazy. And the logistics, you won't believe the logistics when we had that meeting with the Chinese, how it was a headache. The time you changed on the notice that was given to members, there's meetings that get cancelled on the morning of the meeting. I receive calls from members. So, colleagues, please, I ask you, bear with me. I work from day till night to get this committee to run smoothly. I'm not criticizing our support staff, but we have had serious challenges for the fact that everything must be done online. So I apologize that there has been a misunderstanding. I really apologize. I'm very professional when I do interviews. I've been a minister for years. I don't do interviews like this. So my apologies, could we then take a break and allow him to correct the situation? I will also apologize to the candidate.
Okay.
Once more, my apologies. And the functions of the human is writing different acts. So do you understand why I am now stipulating whose function is which function?
Yes, I do, Chair. And I'll leave you in the same room with the minister to sort that out at your own convenience. Thank you.
I'm sure there'll be blood on the floor.
Honourable members, on the one document we gave you the briefing notes, does that assist you now?
Yes.
We emailed that to you, but I asked that they print it for you as well. Okay? On each one, I've also given you the process and everything. Now, colleagues, on the one page, we are starting with Mr. Takalani Tovakali. Right?
Yes.
Tovakali. You will score him accordingly, question 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. You have that.
Yes.
On each document, you will write the name of the panel member. Then the second document says the interviews for Critical Infrastructure Council. You will write the time that we started and the time that we ended, so that we give each candidate a fair chance.
Mm.
You will write the name of the panel member, and then on this one you write the name of the panel member and the name of the candidate. For each candidate you will receive these documents. So this is the document. If you do not wish to add any comments, you could then say no comments. Those comments will all be included in the finalization of the documentation on Friday. The last candidate will be interviewed on Thursday. So the finalization of the documents will be done on Friday. Thursday is the last person interviewed. Once the documents are finalized, we can then send it back to you. Honourable members, as we are starting now, the Speaker has referred the appointment of private sector and civil society members of the Critical Infrastructure Council to the Portfolio Committee on Police for consideration and report on the 4th of November 2020. Because of the situation of COVID-19, you do understand that we had certain challenges and that we then had to draw up the shortlist, which we did. We brought the committee, a full committee, the candidates which you have shortlisted. You were all given the number of 20 candidates who were shortlisted. After the candidates were shortlisted, we then did the vetting of all members who were shortlisted. The vetting of the members who were shortlisted resulted in one candidate not being given security clearance. Today we then start the interviews officially, and the Portfolio Committee on Police is requested to nominate 10 members through an appointment process. Of the criteria which we will look at is the national question, we will look at age, the question of youth, the question of gender, the question of the criteria of qualifications. We have also, through the process of vetting, we have also gone through the and verified the qualifications of the different candidates. The process entails interviewing now the applicants and compiling a short list of 10 applicants for the consideration of the minister. Are we all in agreement? A letter was sent to the State Security Agency, and they were then tabling the vetting of the applicants. It took me some time to get the applicants vetted because of the backlog at the State Security Agency. Do we all understand that the candidates had to be vetted before I could call the interviews? Honourable members, the interviews will be conducted in the strictest form of the COVID-19 regulations. Could all members please observe social distancing, and could we ensure that we have our masks on when we are not, may speak with your masks on. May we please ensure that we observe all the COVID-19 regulations, that you sanitize, and that you again, as I said, wear your mask. Honourable members, the first candidate, Mr. Takalani Tovakale, will now be called in. Honourable members, the interviews will not be broadcasted live. Do we all accept that?
Yes, sir.
If we cannot broadcast it live now immediately, because that would mean that those candidates who come after these ones would have an unfair advantage. So once we have done all the interviews, it will then be broadcasted. Do you accept that? We have indicated to you that one candidate has reported as being ill, and that she has had medical consultation. We will also consistently find out how she is doing. If we can, we'll also take legal advice if she can be interviewed virtually, and if so, we'll see if her health allows us to then interview her before end of business on Thursday. Do we have an agreement on that?
Mm-hmm.
Colleagues, we have agreed that all candidates will be asked the same questions. That question one will be non-scoring, that each question will have equal weight, that there will be technical questions, leadership questions, and behavioral questions as follow-ups. Each candidate will be asked the same question. The follow-up questions will be allowed by members as so required. Each member will ask the same questions, but the follow-up questions, I will be allowing different members to ask follow-up questions. If you give one candidate two follow-up questions, I will allow the minimum follow-up questions for each candidate then to be two, minimum. There must be equality, fairness, and transparency. To allow for equality, fairness, and transparency, I had to call on the support staff to prepare documents. I do apologize that we have delayed this process, but since you understand that everything has to be above board, all our documents are legally required, that at the end of the day, it must be above scrutiny. Colleagues, we can then now call in our first candidate. You may.
The person just okay on this document. Thank you. The document title is fine now. Can I just ask that, do you expect us to write out the question here, or can we only put the number there?
Yes.
The number as I appear.
The number of the question is question one.
Yes.
You do not need to write out question one.
Yeah,
if you want to make any comments about your support or follow-up question, then you write your follow-up.
Yeah.
Are we all clear?
Yes.
So I have put question two, so in case you want to do a follow-up and you write there no follow-up.
Yep.
Are you all in agreement?
Mm-hmm.
Just one point of clarity, Chairperson.
Yes, Chairperson.
If I understand you correctly, on this form which has got 10 questions,
yes.
As per your question number 2 will tie up with the question number 2. So if I need to put commentary with your 2.
No, you must write comments on all the questions, right?
Yes. I know that, but in other words, if I'm asking questions, I will then go to number 5 here, if I'm asking question number 5. And that's where I'll do my report. Am I
yes.
Yeah.
No. Each member of the panel. Number one, you write the time we start and the time we end. You write your name and you write the name of the candidate. Question one is on the proposed question. Okay. If you do a follow-up, you write the follow-up. Your comments. Each member is expected to do comments on each question, not only on your question. If you are not putting any comments, then you put no comments. Your comments are supposed to be on what you think the candidate has asked or not asked, or how the candidate performed, which will justify the score which you have given the candidate. Colleagues, what it means is that by Thursday, you will not have to try and recap what you were thinking today. But this is also part of the legal document. So this becomes your comments here. It's not scribbled in your notebook. It becomes part of the legal document which we are then kept, which is then kept in case there is any legal comment or a contestation. Are we all with each other now?
Yes.
Okay.
Sure.
You have in your file, you have the shortlisted candidates, okay? You also have the experience. So there's a candidate's experience, it's also there. Are you correct? So I did not bring the full CV. You all have the full CV if you can go to your laptops, the full CVs were emailed to you. What I've done is I've summarized the shortlisted candidates with their educational qualifications, and then I've also given you a short list of their CVs. Do we all accept that I could not reprint the CVs again?
Mm-hmm.
Colleagues, do you have any questions before I call in the candidate? Honorable Shembeni?
Can you quickly help us with the time?
I will indicate to you when we start. Each candidate is given 1 hour time slot.
Mm-hmm.
If a candidate completes the interviews before the 1 hour, it is up to that candidate how they answer, but each candidate is given an hour. We can end before the hour, but we will not go over the hour. The allocated time must be equal and fair to each candidate. Are we in agreement? Each candidate will be given 1 hour. You can finish before, but you cannot continue after the hour. It is now 11:35. You may call in the first candidate.
it's still morning. Good morning and very welcome, Mr. Tovakali. Is that the correct pronunciation of your surname? My apologies that we have kept you waiting. I would like to express my appreciation for your willingness to avail yourself for this interview. The interview is on the Critical Infrastructure Council. My name is Tina Juman-Peterson. I'm the chairperson of the committee. I will ask that the members introduce themselves, their names, so that you could make a note of their names. Do you require a note paper? You do have. Thank you. A pen, you do have a pen, so that you can take down questions as we do ask. Could I then ask Honourable from my left, which is your right, Honourable Majobi, could you just introduce yourself? Just your name and your political party.
Thank you, Chair. My name is Zandile Machozi, and I'm from the IFP Inkatha Freedom Party.
Next.
Thank you, Chair. My name is Henry Andres. My name is from the EFF. Thank you.
Thank you. I am Ahmed Manzoor Sheikh Imam from the National Freedom Party.
Morning. I am Bokert of Blanche, and I'm from the Democratic Alliance.
Good morning, my name is Linda Moss. I'm from the African National Congress.
Good morning, my name is Patricia. Surname is Peacock from the ANC.
Honourable members, my time now for the start of the questions and the interviews is exactly 11:40. You have 1 hour in which we will interview you. Each of the panelists will ask you questions. You can finish before your 1 hour, but you will not be allowed time after the 1 hour. Each candidate has exactly 1 hour, and each candidate will be asked the same question. So, as the chairperson of the panel, Mr. Tovakali, can you please tell me about your experience, your qualifications that you have acquired, your experience you've acquired? Highlight the areas of your experience that you believe will make you a suitable candidate for this position and for this role.
Thank you very much. My name is Jacqueline Sabatari. I'm from the
My name is Takalani Tovakale. I'm born and bred in Limpopo, in the Venda homeland. Experience in the security industry, especially in the infrastructure, critical services. I've worked with telecommunication at ICASA, where I was in charge of the security component. And then when I arrived there, there was no security structures in place, including the access control, minimum information security standard, the investigation side of it, and then I've been tasked to ensure that there is a security that take care of all the components, including the document access control. And then experience again in the security, I've got plus minus 33 years in the security industry, where I've worked in the government sector, state-owned security entities, including the private sectors and the mining sector. The qualification in related to security, I've got a national diploma in security risk management from the University of South Africa. I've also obtained my BTEC in security risk management from the University of South Africa. And I've also acquired a postgraduate diploma in higher education from Vanu University. And I believe and trust that my experience, my qualification and skills that I've acquired will enable me to provide my service without any difficulties. Thank you.
Thank you, Thank you very much for those details, the responses, and I thank you for in fact giving us such an honest view. I'll now call on the next person. It's Honourable Peacock, and then after Honourable Peacock, it will be Honourable Moss. Honourable Peacock, you may ask your question.
Thank you, Chair. The second question would be, what is your understanding of critical infrastructure, and why should critical infrastructure in our country be protected?
Critical infrastructure, according to my understanding, is the government sectors which need protection from any security breach, from any attack. Then it need our insight in the protection, in the safeguarding and the resilience to ensure that our country is in safe hands. No one could just have an access and destroy it, since it will destroy the economy and the society of our people. And why should it have to be protected? It's supposed to be protected to ensure that our country is in safe hands from industrial espionage, and to ensure that our community, our society, they live without fear from any attack, including those infrastructures. Thank you.
Honourable members, would you like a follow-up question? You could indicate to me if you want, after the candidate has responded, if you would like a follow-up question. If not, I will take the next. Honourable de Blanche.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning once again. You've been welcomed by the Chairperson. You gave us a very brief summary explaining your understanding on this question that you've been dealing with. Have you read the applicable legislation, and are you comfortable that you have covered all area? I'm not saying that you haven't. I'm merely asking you a question whether you, in terms of, you know, how it is sort of drafted or, you know, taken up in the legislation, whether you've covered the whole spectrum. Thank you, Jay.
Okay, thank you. Critical Infrastructure Act 8 of 2019, I've read about it and understand even the responsibility of the councillor to ensure that we provide the department with the work that they are doing. We will be in charge of it. Secondly, to ensure that we consider the bill, and then to ensure that the person being appointed on under CIA is openness and transparency dealing with the community and the society, especially in the police, where we deal with the community, we deal with the society in at large, deal with cyber security, including security breaches.
Honourable Sheikh Umar.
Thank you. Could you give me one example of what you identify as critical infrastructure?
Could you please repeat your question, sir?
Could you give me one example of what you identify as critical infrastructure in the country that needs protection?
Thank you very much. As I've already elaborated, that I've worked at ISCOM at Lipalale Power Station. It's an energy utility under state-owned entity, which is supposed to be protected from any diversity or from any attack. Therefore, my experience in dealing with the infrastructure, the critical infrastructure, is vast, and it will add value to the community. Therefore, ESCOM including ICASA, Independent Communication Authority of South Africa, where it deals with all the communications. It's part of CIA within the government structure. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Could I continue to Honorable Moss? You have an opportunity to ask the next question.
Thank you very much, Jefferson. My question would be, what do you think is the overall intention of the critical infrastructure protection on the issue of the Act?
Could you repeat your question, ma'am?
What do you think is the overall intention of the critical infrastructure protection on the issue of the Act?
Thank you. It is the responsibility of the government, of the police, to ensure that critical infrastructure within our country is being protected from any adversaries, from any industrial espionage. And then it is also vital, an overall intention of the critical infrastructure, to ensure that it runs its course, especially on the security-related matters. For an example, access control, where the biometric system is supposed to be used to ensure that each and every person that is having an access within the critical infrastructure is being placed in the system, in the security system, so that if there is any security breach, you know where to start, you know who have an access to the critical infrastructure. And then to also conduct threat risk and assessment on quarterly basis to ensure that we are in par with the government structures. And then also to find out if there is any security breach that could have been overlooked by our government institutions, the state-owned entities, including ICASA, including ESCOM, to make sure that we are not being caught unaware within our institutions. Therefore, it is important that our security personnel have been vetted. Security personnel, they have been done criminal recording, criminal checks, to ensure that not people are not allowed to be in that institution and that they find themselves sneaking in, including the outsourced security companies, which will be vetted before the term has been awarded to them, so that we are giving the right people the right job and they could be able to have an insight in their information. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next question will be asked by Honorable Shimbeni.
Thank you, Chair. My question is, do you think that the public should be allowed into the critical infrastructure and be free to take photographs? Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Shimbeni. According to my understanding, critical infrastructure is the national key point areas of which no taking of photocopies or photos will be allowed within the institutions, as much as speaking about the vetting of the people and the access control, the egress access control within the institution. Therefore, all people will be treated with dignity. Visitors will be allowed to visit the institutions, but they have to do pre-arrangement before they visit the area, so that they could be checked if ever the criminal content is in play. Because if there we have some other criminal activities, we have to look into that in a clear viewpoint. Therefore, it is essential to ensure that all visitors who are coming in the state-owned entities of the critical infrastructure of the government or state-owned entities, they have to be taken into consideration and then they have to be escorted to the client that they are visiting in, and then they must also use their biometric finger to have an access themselves inside, and they must also have their ID book with them or ID card to be given an access. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Honorable Shibeni, would you like to do a follow-up?
No, thank you.
Thank you very much. Honorable Sheikh Imam.
Thank you, Chairperson. What do you believe is the role of the South African police or the police in general and security agencies with respect to critical infrastructure? What do you believe is the role of the police and the security agencies with respect to critical infrastructure?
Thank you. The role of SAPS, South African Police Services, within the critical infrastructure, number one is to ensure that national key point areas, they follow the National Key Point Act without fear and favor, is to ensure also that all investigation on the security breach within the critical infrastructure, they are taken into consideration and they are being investigated and the perpetrators are brought into books. And then with in terms of National Intelligence Agency, National Intelligence Agency will also assist the SAPS if there is any information that could be used to attack the infrastructure within our society, within our government atmosphere. Therefore, National Intelligence Agencies work hand in glove with South African Police Services to ensure that all the information which are detrimental effect to the company, to the state-owned entity, are being taken into account before any harm or any damage is being done. Therefore, both entities, South African Police Service and National Intelligence Agency, they will have to work hand in glove to ensure that our country and our critical infrastructures, they are being safeguarded, and then all the information within that is taken into account without any fear nor favor. Therefore, I will regard SAPS as the component that bring best service to the community, including the infrastructure, critical infrastructure, and then to ensure that they assist in vetting the personnel who are working in the infrastructure, within the infrastructure component, those in high ranking areas, and then also to ensure that all information is handled with care. Thank you.
Thank you very much. You would like to do a follow-up on
those? Yes, Chairperson. Thank you.
Honorable Josie, do you have your hand up?
No.
Fine. Okay. Honorable Sheikh Imam.
Yeah, thank you. Given the fact that you've been in the security industry in some very strategic institution for a long period of time, and I'm sure you know the security situation in the country, how would you handle if there's a weakness between the security industries and the police services in being able to protect the critical infrastructure in the country?
Thank you, sir. It's my responsibility to ensure that the critical infrastructures they are being well guarded, and it's also my responsibility to ensure that if there is any security breach or any attack that it could happen within our infrastructure, threat risk and assessment is conducted, security survey is being conducted to find out exactly what could be the threat, and if there is any threat that has been found or has been identified, therefore the recommendation will be done to the chair and then to take responsibility that is being implemented to ensure that all the risks have been mitigated. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Honorable Majosi, you have the next question.
Thank you, Chair. In your opinion, what are the key challenges facing the Council, and what role should the Council play in strengthening critical infrastructure on the CIC and so forth? Thanks.
Could you please repeat your question, ma'am?
I'm saying, in your opinion, what are the key challenges facing the Council, and what role should the Council play in strengthening critical infrastructure?
Thank you. In my opinion, councillors have to play a role in openness and transparency to the community and the society, and also to ensure that they provide work for the department, especially the policy department, and also to adhere to code of conduct of the councillors, including the corruption, fraud, and all, and so forth. And then, what are they supposed to do as councillors? The councillors must play their role in working hand in glove with the SAPS structures, including the minister, the deputy minister, the DDG, and then giving advice if there is any threat, if there is any critical infrastructure that have to be defined as critical, because there are some other government state-owned entities which are critical infrastructure, but they are not yet been appointed as critical infrastructure. Therefore, it's the work of the councillor to give an advice to the department, to the minister, to the deputy minister, and the DDG in writing, and also after doing or conducting threat risk and assessment, which will be able to give the risk that has been faced by that institution to be able to be critical infrastructure. And also, it is the responsibility of the councillors to ensure that they work hand in glove with the community. Because the community, they have the information out there. They are staying in the location. They have got information if there is any detrimental effect that could affect our infrastructure component. This is also includes, for an example, ESCO, as an energy utility. Therefore, if it has been affected or it has been sabotaged, it affects the whole country. It affects the services which are essential, including hospitals where we could lose life. Therefore, it is important that the councillors work hand in glove with the community, including other state-owned entities of components. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Would you like a follow-up, Mr. Mays?
In your own, as I said before, maybe in your own opinion, currently when you view the challenges that are there, what do you think are these challenges, and when you come, and if you are appointed, what would be your role in making sure that you change or maybe improve on these challenges?
Thanks, ma'am. Of the challenges that I've noted or I've seen is within the outsourced security companies, where the outsourced security companies are being owned by the outsiders, non-South Africans, which they're given tenders and they're working in the critical infrastructure of our country, and then these owners, they're not vetted. Sometimes it's also difficult to find if the ID that they are using is there or it's an OGAT. Therefore, in my role, it is important to ensure that we go deeper. We go deeper in investigations before we give out the tender to find out we are giving it to the right people who will be able to protect our infrastructure without fear nor favor. And it's also a challenge again to find that those security companies, they are hiring people who have got criminal records. other criminal records include maybe financial and laundering of money, and therefore once they've been appointed, they're able to use the infrastructure as a way of getting the money to their pocket, and then it affects the utilization of the critical infrastructure component. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Majuzi. Honorable de Blanche.
Good evening, President. Sir, name the key strength from a technical and leadership perspective which you will bring to the CIC if you are appointed, and what do you think are the areas of growth that you would be needing?
Could you please repeat again the key
string? The key string from a technical and the leadership.
Sorry, man, I forgot the mic. Sorry,
name the key string from a technical and leadership perspective which you will bring to the CIC if you are appointed, and what do you think are your areas of growth? Needed.
Thank you. On the string technical part, critical infrastructure component of agency, it is my responsibility to ensure that access control is in place and it is controlled e-commerce. It's also my responsibility to ensure that CCTV surveillance cameras are in place covering all the high-risk areas and the low-risk areas. And then all the people, including contractors, employees, and visitors who are visiting the area, is to ensure that their baggage, or their bags, whatever it's supposed to be X-rayed, to ensure that we don't have any bomb or any threatening event that will be able to enter into our critical infrastructures, or which could be of a detrimental effect and put our infrastructure at a risk. Then my role, my area of growth in that is to work hand in glove with the technicians who will ensure that the biometric access control is up to standard. All the access control which are not working are reported on time to the technical team and to attend to it without failure, and to ensure that all CCTV surveillance cameras, they are working, and then all the recordings. If there is any security breach, we could be able to get the footage without any problem. Thank you.
A follow-up question on the move to blast.
Thank you, Chairperson. Sir, in globally, what new technical developments are there that you are aware of that we can possibly introduce in South Africa in this environment? Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Globally, the security industry is growing from leaps and bounds. Therefore, we had the problem or challenge of the cyber attack, where the criminals are using it to ensure that they outsource or they take money, it could be from the state or from the individual, unnoticed or unfounded. Therefore, it is my responsibility to ensure that the cyber industry is being taken into account, and to ensure that we protect our utilities, we protect our emails, our systems from being hacked by criminals, to ensure that no critical information that goes out unnoticed. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Shekima.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm not sure if you actually understood the question. I think what the question was talking about, you as an individual, based on your experience and your qualifications, what is your strength your technical know-how, your leadership skills and things that you will bring to the Critical Infrastructure Council? I think that's the first part of that question that we are trying to get at.
My expertise in the technical systems is CCTV surveillance camera, the X-ray machine, the baggage machine, the scanner, to ensure that you can have a surveillance unit being scanned, and it's also my responsibility on this expertise to ensure that all technical systems are working and running in protection of all the people that are working within the critical infrastructure. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We'll now go to the eighth question. Honorable Shekima. Yes, it's more about governance.
Yes, thank you.
Integrity and ethics.
Yes, thank you very much. Okay. Have you ever, are you with me, sir?
Yes, sir.
Have you ever been criminally charged and or convicted or had serious allegations of corruption, fraud, theft, or have you been brought before a disciplinary committee, wherever you might have worked, for either of the above, which I've just mentioned, or gross insubordination, absenteeism, dereliction of duty and things like that? Have you ever been involved in any of what I've just mentioned in your entire career?
Thank you, sir. I've never been charged nor been brought into DC or any criminal charge against me based on the ethics that I am a Christian and I believe that I have to live a Christian value wherever I am within my family and within the organization that I'm serving. Even if I could be one of the candidates or of the councillors in Parliament, I will continue living according to the ethics code of the council.
You may continue, Sheikh.
Yes, thank you, Chuck. I think the answer is yes or no, if you can just give me that.
No,
the record, thank you.
Thank you very much. Honorable Majosi, would you like to ask on stakeholder relationships?
Managing key stakeholder relationships is an important responsibility for the CIC. At times, stakeholders can be very demanding. Describe how you manage unreasonable stakeholders' expectations.
Thank you very much. I have been given a task to ensure that we work hand in glove with the community, especially on the community activism when they are striking based on the service delivery and the challenges of saying that the mines that have been working, they are not hiring their people within around instead of them, they're hiring outside. Then my action that I have taken, number one was to ensure that I communicate with the leader of that striking team, ensure that the striking team leader, they give us their consent, why they are striking and why should they not continue with their strike. And then it was also my responsibility to ensure that I brought it to the management, the challenges that the community are facing, the reason why they are striking, and what needs to be done. And then the result was that the community members, leaders, they were invited, and then we worked together with the management and then we give them certain time that results will be given to them or the feedback on how we deliver this, especially as the stakeholders, the community as the stakeholders of any organization that is working within their area. Therefore, by that, it assists to elevate and eliminate any unforeseen circumstances where that it could lead to loss of life, damage to property, and then we solve this without any harm. And then from there, we requested that in the near future, should they have any problem, let them engage with us before they take it to the street, so that we work together harmony for the sake of our country, for the sake of our organization. Thank you.
Would you like to do a follow-up? Any further follow-up? Honorable Shaikima?
It's a very difficult question, but I am a proponent, a supporter of mechanisms in place to prevent any abuse of women and children in the country, and I'm one of them that's calling for nobody to be employed in state entities if they do not play their part as a parent in the life of the children and pay their maintenance and things. Do you, sir, ever have any problems of that nature or not?
No.
Thank you.
Finally, you have the opportunity now, Mr. Tomakale. If there are any comments you would like to make or questions that you would like to ask to the panel.
Thank you very much for the opportunity once more. Mm-hmm. I've got two or three questions. Question number one will be, since the CIC portfolio committee, the new committee to be formed, how did the Minister of Police do without it up to so far? Second question will be, how soon will we be able to get the feedback or the outcome of these interviews? The last one, challenges faced by CIC, how good will it be mitigated within the framework?
Thank you very much for those questions. Very quickly, Mr. Tomakale, the Critical Infrastructure Protection Act was assented to by the President on the 28th of November 2019. It was also the period of 2020 when we had the COVID-19 pandemic which started. It took a time for the Parliament to decide that they are going to have hybrid sessions. So the Act was promulgated in 2019. We had to then do the advertisements. The advertisements had to be rerun, all within the protocols of fairness and access to information, and the various media which were available. Radio, online, print media, so all of that had to be done. We then, after we had ensured that the advertisements had been sufficiently done, as the portfolio committee, we had to now take the further step to shortlist the candidates.
Once more, because of COVID, we had to then decide whether the shortlisting could be held legally, if it could be held virtually. We shortlisted the candidates. After shortlisting the candidates had to be vetted. And once the vetting happened, we could then continue. And again, we had to decide whether the panel should be sitting virtually or physically. We were then advised that the interviews have to take place physically. You do understand that you then require the different COVID regulations, whether you can travel, whether there's interprovincial travel. So all those concerns have to be taken into place. So as I said, the Act was only promulgated in at the end of November 2019. And yes, it has taken more than a year, but it has been a challenging experience. It's a new norm. This Act replaced the National Key Points Act of 1980, and then the 10 names which the portfolio committee will be shortlisting will be sent to the ministry. The ministry will then further appoint 5 members. So out of the 20 that we interviewed today, only 5 members will eventually be appointed. And the ministry is responsible for remuneration. The 5 members who are appointed will then be part of a team which includes the Department of Defense, Home Affairs, Public Works, a National Disaster, Local Government, South African Police Service, and the State Security Agency. Honourable members, that's as far as I would like to respond. Honourable de Blanche, I can see you'd like to respond.
Chairperson, no, I'm covered, thank you. Sorry, the screen is completely to switch it on. No, I'm covered, thank you, Chairperson.
Any other response? Honourable Shekima?
Yeah, there has been mechanisms previously for protection of key points and things. But I think the issue is that we found that it was inadequate and we wanted to, then that is the purpose of actually, you know, bringing this as an act and putting in a council so they will have a specific responsibility rather than previously being drawn under, you know, different people taking an interest in trying to protect those people. Now it's going to specifically fall there. Would this council is going to have absolute responsibility of ensuring the protection of this particular infrastructure. But I think the other question you were asking is, from the portfolio committee side, you know, the staff's reports to this committee, and if there are challenges faced by any of the substructures or subsidiaries of staffs and things, of course this platform is always going to be open so that you can engage with other some of the challenges that you might be facing at the CIC, the council itself. And yes, of course, under the chairperson's wing, you will get all the support necessary where we will then call you in, we will call SAPS in, and we'll interrogate it and see where you need it, and that will be it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, honourable members. If with your permission and your satisfaction, I could now then thank the candidate. Again, Mr. Tomakari, my apologies that we started late. We'll make sure that you get to the airport on time and that your final arrangements are made. The notification will be sent to you on whether your application has been successful or not. But as we said, it's not a long list. It's only a short list of 20 people. And of the 20 candidates, 5 will be successful. Thank you very much. Thank you. You may leave now.
Thank you.
colleagues, you have 10 minutes. Yes, yes. You now we're giving you a statement before I call in the next candidate.
Oh,
you have 10 minutes before we call in the next candidate. What time did this end? I didn't get the time when we ended. What was the time when we ended? 12:20.
Yeah.
I'll start now. Honorable Majority, you can go. We'll wait for you.
Okay.
Yeah. We did actually start at 12:40.
Okay.
So you can have, she would like the facilities. As soon as the lunch is, can we just do one more candidate, please? Can I do one more candidate, or can you fetch your food and come in?
We should try.
But I'm asking that, can we do another candidate? Can you fetch your lunch, because I'm going to start at 12:40.
Yeah.
So you can fetch your lunch. Come on, you can fetch your lunch now. 15 minutes is enough time for you to have lunch.
Already there. The problem we got with Oliver Tablatt is he's picked up. His wife is not there, so he's not in a hurry to go home.
I didn't want to say so.
Yeah.
Because the two of us are still going out tonight. Oliver Tablatt, I'm taking him out for coffee.
No.
Can you get your food, please?
So,
can we keep the documents until the end of today?
Yeah.
Okay. So just keep your documents together with the name of the candidate and the score and then the comments.
Okay.
I told you they are breaking now.
I think there are the problem here. Thank
actually the candidate that's outside is the one that came first.
Mm.
Yeah,
yeah. Mm. Yeah, but I think that means he was here earlier. Mm. Where is my guy was here?
So they were not given time to say this one comes first to suffer.
No, I think we gave them set times.
Mm.
But we are running late, so my view is that we should sit and we should just carry on rather than be late. The vulnerable to Blanche is in no hurry to go on. What happens with these members of Parliament? When they leave home, they collect where they come. Members don't understand the question, you must explain it to them because they don't seem to understand it. They don't.
But the difference,
I think also when you're speaking with your mask also, it's
difficult.
Yeah.
Coming from the youth, they still developing. Still improving.
So, do you want to be 40 percent of the presentation or do you want to be 40% of the youth?
Yes. We all have to start somewhere.
You want to be 40? 40% youth in college?
No, it should be 50.
No,
what about the woman?
They think 50-year-old.
Women
is old. 60-year-old.
No, but
women is 60-year-old.
Because if you look at it, when you do it according to criteria, you say we prioritize women and youth. Once they elect one young person who is a woman, you've hit two birds with one stone.
Yes,
so
one young woman here.
But they also want experience.
Yes, we must.
Who can't be that? And you know what I love about this thing, Chef? When you are young, you talk so ill about this. Oh, this old is not gone. You forget that you're also going to become old.
I don't mind, yes.
Why?
I was 15 when I became an old. 15. I was looking.
Yeah.
I was a minister. My comrade. Some young people are.
They only want to.
I'm not going to be unprofessional, but even now, the way I'm running off the young people to do the work.
Your problem stems from school. Quality of education is poor at the moment.
Continuation, it must be
people speaking of you for themselves in the meeting. But there are other people who just don't want to go.
That is the problem.
Yeah, there are some
you
people
can be in parliament
since
inception and still now.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you are a leader of some or of that organization or something, but it can be you.
You don't even want to move for other people. You fight when it comes to the
business. Even for yourself in a meeting.
You know,
the people who are already, the people who are 17.
No, you're welcome.
70.
I think there should be a limit.
65.
That's why the question starts there. Departments which say 60 or 65 in the
No, 65 people.
65. But why people must say
but then
how
would have president
for more than 65?
How would have president?
He's going to be 69 this year.
Huh?
Who's that?
But I'm opposed. He's born in 15.
No, but that is an exception, Chief. Because you are a leader of an organization.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's different from that one. You don't even discuss it. You know, number one on the list is the leader
of the organization.
The rest then will follow. But there are those ones who just do not want to go.
It's true.
They are there. And they will tell you, but no, you must wait for your time. When is your time? When you are 85 yourself. When is my time? So when I only tell them, I don't fight with them.
You
I tell them,
go
of
out.
Course,
after your service, you need to go out and enjoy your life.
You must. You don't
what's the point in when you die, you're going to leave all that and go, but you haven't enjoyed it, you haven't had a chance.
You see?
Mom, that all of them
after
the
country.
As soon as they retire, one
yeah.
or 2 years they get.
They
did, yeah. Ah. You see, it's true. Kind of asthma, I knew my child was kind of bullied. I was dying while we were still working. So, you won't believe me how nice it is for me to be a chair and what I'm
but that's another observation they make from a health perspective, that if you've been very active and suddenly you stop all that activity, it gets to you and they don't last a long time. And that's another reason why people... But on the other hand, let me tell you, some of the older people are doing a much better job than the younger ones are doing. The younger ones want to go and grandstand and they don't want to work. And they make big noise.
Yes, you must please me.
But I think you need a balance anyway.
You must have a balance. But my biggest concern right now is that how you preserve also the skills that have been built over the years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, what I'm doing now is just transferring my knowledge and transferring my skills. And in the committee, all I'm doing I'm transferring my knowledge and transferring my skills.
Very much.
And I'm helping, you know, when people must know how much I'm even helping the staff and the minister. Right now, I'm telling you, no. You saw that we brought iPad, but they don't understand iPad and chat must meet before they come to the
company. No, because I mean, it doesn't mean we
do. Now look, now I want the team of the ICT procurement. Look, they don't understand. If we do
yeah, whoever so good here was very angry.
Only cook 5 minutes
ago. They had anger issues, don't they?
So, now they're coming to do us the ICP flavor.
The first time in my life I saw somebody giving you biryani and they're giving you salt and pepper.
But, Master Brandon, when you come and give us a report on the procurement, your internal audit committee must be there.
Of course.
Because the first report which was done by the internal audit committee. How can you not bring internal audit committee?
Of course.
But sir, you must admit, current politics, there's no place for honest.
Mm-hmm. The one that must be the candidate, not the IC. The candidate is the one that you must call.
Yeah, did you eat it? Food is
okay.
Okay, no, they saw your calls.
Yeah, for the same thing.
No, the candidate must be here on the noise here.
You have to be very hungry to eat this.
Sorry?
I'm not going to be honest.
Okay.
and it didn't give me any problems.
Either. But anyway, can we mention that we have this thing after the interview today, not after every game?
No, no, no. Of course, we remember, and even at the end of the interview,
yeah,
we must probably be able to
change. Are you
going to
be able
to
compare,
and then we need to agree that this is our number one, this is our number two, number three.
We will do that. That we'll do on Thursday. Okay?
Yeah.
Thank you. Colleagues, can I call in the next candidate?
Yes, please.
Okay. We can call in the next candidate.
Thank you. Enjoy
you guys will know. I obviously don't know. I like the young, but I don't know that.
Good afternoon, colleagues. Our next candidate is Mr. Son. Mr. Son, we have sanitized the venue. We'll also sanitize the space where you're sitting. Everything is according to COVID protocols. You'll also see that we're sitting very far from you. Mr. Son, again, my apologies for keeping you so long, but everything, you know, now that we're doing it with new norm, it's the first time that we are doing interviews with this process. So just remember now, it's a legal process. Out of the 20 that we do interview, 5 will eventually be appointed by the minister. So this is the process of what is going to happen. The speaker referred the appointment of the private sector and civil society members of the Critical Infrastructure Council to the Portfolio Committee. I am the chairperson of the Portfolio Committee. My name is Tina Jumai-Peterson, and I'll allow the members to introduce themselves. You may start.
Hello, my name is Sandile Mashwazi from the Inkatha African Party.
Thank you, Chair. I'm Hendrik Andres Shembeni from the EFF.
Thank you.
Ahmed Manzoor Sheikh Imam from the National Freedom Party.
Thank you very much.
Good afternoon, I'm Augustus Lawrence and I'm from the Democratic Alliance.
Good afternoon, my name is Olinda Moss. I'm from the African National Congress.
Good afternoon, my name is Patricia, surname is Peacock from the ANC.
Thank you very much, Mr. Son. Again, my sincere apologies. We will also arrange that your flights are changed accordingly. Mr. Son,
Can you please tell us about your experience as well as your qualifications which you have acquired and the spirit you have acquired? And when you can highlight the areas of your experience that you believe make you still make yourself suitable for the candidate of this position.
Good afternoon, Chef Jefferson, and to the panel members. Thank you for the opportunity. I'm humbled by the invitation. My name is Dan Swan. Born in Dorchester and grew up in Colorado. I'm married, I've got two kids, and my qualifications ranges from mining certificates to project management to environmental management to an MBA, MPhil, and then also doctoral research. My work experience spans from managing IT infrastructure to built environment from ground greenfields right up to turnkey projects at Transnet, at Eskom, as well as the South African Bank. I believe that my management capabilities as well as board oversight, where I serve as the chairperson of the Infrastructure Physical Planning Committee at CPUC, as well as the Infrastructure and IT subcommittee at the Charlotte Matreke Hospital in Johannesburg. So in that regard, that I felt that I possess the necessary skills, expertise, in order to render my services to this particular opportunity that has become available.
Thank you very much, Mr. Stone. The next question will be asked by Honorable Pico. What is your understanding of critical infrastructure, and why should critical infrastructure in our country be protected?
Okay, so my understanding from what I've read of the act that was promulgated on the 28th of November in 2019 is that it seeks to replace or repeal the National Key Point Act of 1980, and it's taken a very long time. So I think it's important because number one is you need critical infrastructure that will look after the economy or protect the economy, that will protect national security, that will ensure public safety, and also continue the unhindrance of the provision of basic services. I think there's something else that we also need to factor into that, which is the pandemic that we've now been faced with. So I believe there should be some alteration that looks after public health as far as infrastructure is concerned, and how that could be incorporated into part of the critical infrastructure act that we, or protection thereof, that we are wanting to form as a government.
Honorable Pico, a follow-up. Since you mentioned the Critical Infrastructure Protection Act, what do you think is an overlap in intention of the act?
Okay, so I think the intention is obviously to look at, it's a time to reflect on the National Key Point Act, and then have a look at what other critical infrastructure there is in the country that needs to be protected in order to safeguard our economy, as I mentioned before, the public safety, the national security as well as providing ongoing provision of basic services.
Thank you. Do you have any other follow-ups, honourable members? The next question will be honourable Shinbeni.
Thank you, Chairperson. Mr. Grant, do you think that the public should be allowed into critical infrastructure and be free to take photos in those areas?
I think it's important that the education and awareness of our critical infrastructure as it is continuously implemented. It depends where we apply these particular rules as far as what is allowed or what is permitted and what isn't. If they, we've got a complete pure risk system put in place to understand what are the risks involved with the individuals taking photographs and how that would impact on the security, then those are factors that we need to consider. But I wouldn't just put a blanket approach on whether or not individuals should be taking pictures of critical infrastructure. I mean, as an example, Parliament's building could be seen as a national key point of critical infrastructure, and somebody taking pictures from the outside, or at one of our airports, as an example. So these need to be assessed on a individual basis, and the proper risk matrix needs to be put in place so that we can ascertain what is allowed, what isn't allowed.
Thank you very much. Any follow-up?
No, thank you,
Mr. Blanche.
Mr. Son, good afternoon. have you ever been in a, during your career, have you ever been exposed, I mean, you know, work-related job, to critical infrastructure, and if yes, to what extent?
Yes, I have. ESCOM is a national key point. I've spent 7 years there looking after the leaking ventilation and ambient conditioning at Creel, Matla, and Kendall Power Station. So I'm very familiar with how Raleigh's been protected as far as risk is involved and that maintenance is involved and also future projections in terms of how to better manage that particular infrastructure here. Oh, sorry, I also worked at the South African Bank Note, where the same has applied. And to the point with regards to photographs, I was reprimanded not to take pics inside the South African Bank Note by the security.
Thank you very much. Honourable Sheikh Imam.
Thank you, Chairperson. It may be a requirement that you need to have some skills, particularly in financial management, to be part
Honourable,
of the...
Honourable Sheikh Imam,
can
we add, my apologies to interrupt you.
Okay, let me just finish that with you. You know, part of your responsibility, if you get this job, would be also to deal with financial management, budgeting, and all that kind of stuff. Do you have the necessary qualifications, experience, or skills to be able to deal with that in addition to other responsibilities?
Yes, I do possess the necessary skill sets. I've been responsible for finance, not only in business where I've operated, but I've also currently sit in the financial committee of both CPUT as well as Charlotte Mazwenge Hospital. So I do have an understanding of the PMFA Act as well as management of finances experience, not only at an executive level but also at a board level.
Thank you, Honorable Shastima.
Can I ask? Yeah. I know you say that you sit on the board of Charlotte Mokeke and CTUT. How would that impact if you were given this particular position now? And you have already, you are committed to some of these other institutions. How will that impact on your performance in this very important position at the CIC?
Okay, so it's something that I would have to look at in terms of when the council sits for this particular portfolio, and to ascertain what work is involved in. My understanding or assumption is that it's fairly new. It needs to be constituted in terms of who will be there. Structures need to be set up. So once I have a greater understanding, then the necessary sacrifices can be made in terms of where I honestly would be able to add value and where I have to resign.
Thank you very much, Honorable Shimbeni. Are you happy?
I'm happy, Chairperson.
Okay, the next question will come from Honorable Sheikh Imam.
Thank you, Chairperson. What do you believe is the role of the police and security agencies with respect to critical infrastructure?
My understanding is that it would fall into their ambit from a crime prevention a point of view, from a protection point of view, and also from a investigation point of view, and also inspection, because I also realized that commissioner would have to set up systems in place that would allow for his department, General Sitole, to put in place teams who would be able to inspect the infrastructure.
Thank you. Do you have an additional follow-up question?
Yes, Chairperson. Thank you. It appears that it seems like that you've got vast experience in these different fields, and you also know that we have challenges in the country, particularly with threats and crime and vulnerabilities. How do you believe you'd be able to work together with these agencies like SAPS and things, given the fact that they're also experiencing difficulty, and I think you're aware that there are challenges in the country, particularly with policing and things of this nature. So how will you strengthen that relationship with them to be able to achieve your objective of protecting this critical infrastructure?
I think in the beginning I mentioned that continuous awareness and education is something that needs to continue. It needs to be enhanced. I mean, we come from an era where critical infrastructure didn't belong to us, and there was a mass civil disobedience movement in order to destabilize that, to show our frustration that this doesn't belong to us. But after 94, we now own it. We've got black presidents, we've got black parliament members, and black members looking after all our state-owned enterprises, and in critical positions there. So it now belongs to us, and it is our duty and our agency to ensure that we work with the law enforcement agencies, that we collaborate where possible, and that the necessary, again, education and awareness is communicated, not only from an education point of view or higher education, where we've seen the burning of our institutions, but also in our community, that this is our infrastructure, and if we want to voice our opinions, then we need to do so in a more productive, progressive ways.
Thank you very much.
Yes, thank you.
All right, please switch off to thank you very much. Honorable Majoli, you wanted to follow up? Are you may.
Thank you, Chairperson. When you were responding to the role of the police and the security agency, you mentioned protection, investigation, but you didn't allude on how they should then do that and how are they going to work in terms of making sure that whether the SOE is protected or the investigation, what is it that they will be investigating? So you just said protection and investigation. Can you then allude more on that? Thanks.
Okay, so I'm very careful not to get into operations, because I believe that at this level it would be more oversight, and even though we are observing those mechanics, that we don't get involved in the operations there. There are excellent systems put in place in most institutions, and our role is to see how best these both internal partners as well as external partners are able to collaborate and have service level agreements between themselves in terms of how these investigations will take place, where there isn't overlap, or where we find ourselves doing duplication of work. It's to really have a good assessment of what's currently in place and how to optimize those systems that are in place so that we improve the efficiencies of us getting to prevention or investigation or combat.
Thank you. Honorable Majozi, the next question is also yours. Question six.
Yes. In your opinion, what are the key challenges facing the Council and what role should the Council play in strengthening critical infrastructure?
Our infrastructure is under threat, and I'm not sure what has been seen as a critical infrastructure from an appointment point of view, but at face value, when you look at what has been happening in our communities and society, there are problems. I believe this council would have an enormous task in terms of looking at how to protect, for example, our infrastructure. I drive past Clubtown station, train station, in Canada station, and I can't even see a ticketing facility or bridge here. So there's a lot of work that needs to be done. And I believe that whoever's been tasked with this council to perform that function would really have a mammoth task on their hands in order to change behavior and also put in place excellent systems to protect our infrastructure.
Any follow-up questions?
Yeah, just one. And if you were to be appointed, what would be your role to make sure that these challenges that are faced by the council, how do we strengthen the infrastructure if you were to be appointed?
Yeah, like I said, it's an overall assessment that needs to be done in terms of understanding, you know, where the root causes are, and again come up with a solid plan of how to address this. My observation is that we really need to have a change mindset and to communicate and educate, you know, on how to protest or how to protect infrastructure and what that infrastructure means to us and also the generations that come after us.
Anyone else? Do you have a follow-up question on that? If not, Honorable de Blanche.
Thank you, Chairperson. Mr. Son, please name key strengths from a technical and leadership perspective which you will bring to the CIC if you are appointed, and what do you think are the areas, your areas of growth needed?
Well, I'll start with the last one, is always continuous growth that I seek in all areas of my role as a manager or as a human being, to try and continually improve myself. My strengths, I believe, is that I pay particular attention to detail. I'm very meticulous when going over documentation. From a technical perspective, I have over the years tried to master setting goals in a project plan, and then ensuring that every step of the way that we look at ways of how to improve and look for new interventions of seeing through a project from inception right over to handover. So it's not something that is static, it's something I continually look at improving with each and every project that we start and complete.
A follow-up question
to Blanche and then shaking up.
Mr. Song, thank you. Apparently you are quite on top of your game. May I just ask, are you aware at the moment of any new, let's call it new or cutting edge new technology globally that you think should be introduced in South Africa and specifically this portfolio?
Yeah, look, in terms of technology could be looked at. There's some remarkable things that first world countries are doing, that they've tested and introduced, not only from a border management control, but also from a public safety management or public health management, especially with the pandemic that we are facing now, and to look at ways of how we can improve not only our infrastructure, but the communication strategy that runs in parallel with that critical infrastructure that we aim to protect, and to make use of the technology. Yes, it's a tool, but it's a very powerful tool if we able to embrace it and ensure that it meets the recommendations and the end goals of what we want to achieve. I won't be able to tell you offhand what particular technologies there are. There's biometric equipment, the surveillance, there's quite a few. I wouldn't be able to make a determination and point one such system out that could work.
Thank you very much. Honorable Sheikh Imam.
Yeah, thank you. I see that you have got vast experience here in regards to the qualification. Now, what would do you believe at this stage is a great risk to our critical infrastructure? Do you believe there is a threat from outside, there is a threat from inside? Or what is lacking in terms of the protection of our AIT points or our critical infrastructure at this point?
Again, you know, an assessment would have to be done in terms of understanding what the systemic issues are, and not just at face value that I'm looking at the infrastructure finding itself in trouble and then making a determination on that. I know that there's a particular political party who's strong on enforcing, and if we look at a criteria of what do we want to go for when we say enforcing, if it's to produce this nationalism of South African first and educating that individual about protecting the resources of this country, then you won't have us moving into a situation where we've got security companies being hired and for cheap labor, and some of the labor happens to be national or, I don't want to say foreign national, but national from outside of our border. And then, you know, there's a compromise, and you compromise our equipment. We're not sure who we've hired, what the intentions are, as opposed to, you know, vetting our locals first and ensuring that from that perspective, a human resource perspective, that we've got people in place that are interested in the well-being of our equipment and our infrastructure. And then we can move on to other items in terms of trying to identify where the issues are and what we need to put in place to ensure that security of our critical infrastructure.
Honorable Sheikh Imam, you also had another question on integrity and ethics.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, for that. I hope you're not feeling intimidated at all the questions, but we have to do what we have to do. Alright, now, based on the responsibility that you're going to have if you are appointed here, my worry and concern is conflict of interest. Well, I see you've also been in business, and I'm worried about that together with that you will have be employed. Have you ever been criminally charged and or convicted or had serious allegations? And why I'm talking about allegations, because sometimes people have been charged and not found guilty, and cases could be going up, or allegations of corruption, fraud, theft, or have been brought before a disciplinary hearing, if you worked in many of these incidents, for either of the above, or gross insubordination, absenteeism, dereliction of duty, you know, and that kind of thing. If you could just tell me that. And I think, I'll just add it on to this, Chairperson. I know these questions are mainly for males, because we try to create a high quality of civil servants in this country, and given what is happening with gender-based violence, and I know you said you are happily married with two kids or something, and the issue is whether are you anywhere have children and things where they are not being maintained and not having a parent, because these are creating dysfunctional families, and some of us believe that no one in state in future must be employed if they can't be responsible. If you can't be responsible, then you're not going to be responsible in your job. It might not impact too much on the kind of work you do, But I think it says a lot about one's integrity and conduct and things, and that's why we were. So, yeah, if you could just respond to that.
Yeah, okay, I'm not better than other men, but I only have two daughters, Georgia and Giovanna, from my wife Shantel. Again, I'm not better than other men. It could have been that I've just been lucky to be in that situation. But I do try my best to support him and to be a good husband. I believe I am a what they term a chassidomensenmechadimka, which means that people recognize me in the community and they look after me. So I have a duty to ensure that I hold that stature. From a governance perspective and personal ethics, I have not done any business, whether actual or perceived, in places where I have served on boards. You could pick up the phone and speak to chairperson of CPUT or the chairperson of Charlotte Matsetia, Professor Gomere, to attest the same, because I could be blowing my trumpet here, but if there isn't anybody to back up me as a reference, then that would be a fail. So I'm very conscious about what you are saying and the current environment that our country is in when we look at what is happening. I try my best to ensure that I do not cross the line where that could even become an issue of our future.
Honorable Sheikh Imam, I'm close to asking the candidate to ask you questions. We get to that. Honorable Sheikh Imam, you have another question?
Yeah. No, it's not that. Just that I think the question is, is there or has there ever been any allegations or anything not convicted of, misconduct, corruption and all that? I think that's what I'm trying to get at.
No, I have not.
Thank you very much. Honorable Moss, the stakeholder relationship.
Thank you very much, Jefferson. May I be on the stakeholders relationships? Managing key stakeholders' relationship is an important responsibility of the CIC. At times, stakeholders can be very demanding. As we see this, you can see now there's a toy in the country. Describe how many managing unresponsible stakeholders' expectations. Thank you very much.
Again, I think that's very important as far as what your approach is to your stakeholders. Ongoing communication, transparency, ensuring that everyone is brought on board in terms of what the vision and mission is of that particular critical infrastructure is concerned and how it impacts on that immediate environment, and to engage with the communities, with the staff, and other extended stakeholders, get their inputs, put together documentation, and to workshop whatever issues there are, and to have these continuous interventions to ensure that you don't end up with a crisis, and when there is a crisis that is imminent, that you're able to intervene and mitigate that, and continue this engagement so that we reach consensus on where we're going to. Yeah, it's difficult, but I believe that if there isn't arrogance, especially from a management perspective, that you are able to go down on the ground to meet with your stakeholders, then you should have a better outcome.
Susan, and do you have a PhD?
I am. I have completed my research and submitted documentation to the University of Agder in Norway. That looks at what the current early warning systems are for flood damage in Norway, and what sort of interventions can we put in place to improve the early warning system.
And then your info?
My info is looking at what neuroscientific intervention could be put in place to improve health and safety at a power station in South Africa.
You worked on the Bosnian program?
Yes. I completed a research proposal on internet marketing in Africa, and looking at the advantages and disadvantages thereof. The CEO of BTC, which is the equivalent of Telkom South Africa, had seen this and invited me for an interview because they wanted to grow broadband in their country. And I was appointed as the general manager for Botnet, which is a subsidiary equivalent to what Telkom Mobile was for Telkom itself. Spent 3 years there, and then also being part of the committee that was able to then augment all three of their converged services, B-Mobile, Botnet, BTC, into one organization, which today is only known as BTC, selling a converged service.
Thank you very much. So, why are we not referring to you as Dr. Sun?
No, grant is, I'm okay with grant.
Are there any questions you would like to ask us?
Yes, I couldn't pick up any details of a previous council emanating from this particular portfolio, and just wanted to know if there was going to be a handover or is it a continuation of a current chairperson and then new members just being incorporated into their particular model.
Thank you very much for that question. The Critical Infrastructure Act was promulgated by assented to by the President in 2019. So in November 2019, it was the end of November, and this then replaced the National Keyboard Act of 1980. So according to the new act, at 8 of 2019, the Critical Infrastructure Council will then be brought together. So it is this act replaces the 1980 Act, and you will now be appointed within the prescript of the 2019 Act. Unfortunately, we have had to go through a long process of advertising. We had to re-advertise. There's been problems of COVID last year. We then had to, there was a period where Parliament was meeting. Then we went into a hybrid system. Then we had to do virtual meetings. Committee meetings couldn't be hybrid. All committee meetings happened virtually. And this is the first time since 1986. I'm teasing you. Okay. So this was the first time since 20. When did we meet the last time? 2020.
Yes.
We met February 2020.
So we haven't met physically for more than a year. So we shortlisted virtually. And then we have to follow the prescripts of the law. So we have to shortlist virtually. Then we have to send it for vetting. So because things, it's a new process of interviewing, which we have never done, so they said legally that we have to interview physically, and we couldn't interview virtually because there was going to be some compromisation of confidentiality between the candidates. And then we realized that, again, that we couldn't broadcast it, because those who watch the interviews and who are coming later today or coming tomorrow, those who then have an unfair advantage, and you'll be unfairly disadvantaged. So I'm not saying that we are making up laws and procedures as we go along. So this is not sort of creating something, flying an aeroplane while we are fixing it. But there are different considerations that you have to take into account. And then again, it changes and shifts according to what we are now doing with the fourth industrial revolution. And likewise with the critical infrastructure, it's no longer just going to be physical infrastructure, but there's virtual cyber crime, cyber spaces that will have to be protected. A cabinet is now happening virtually, a committee is happening virtually. In fact, is the oversight function and role that we play as a committee becomes more critical, because the public has, yes, you have parliamentary TV, but now you can see that the news has tiny access to what you say. A committee meeting has happened on the news Friday, the Yalt committee is live on news, everything you do is live streamed. It takes you into different challenges, so I hope you understand that. And then out of the 20 members that we interviewed between today and Thursday, 10 from this process, we shortlisted 20, so now we will shortlist to a further 10, and of that 10, 5 will be appointed by the minister. So it's really a process of elimination and deduction. But then you then fit in the company of very skilled technical people. They are chief directors from defense, public works, home affairs, disaster management. And for us, you understand the current challenges that we have. You saw there are key points like parliament that have been compromised. There's a fire in parliament, and parliament is a key point. There's also been some compromises at very key and strategic and critical buildings. So we take this council extremely, extremely seriously. The officials of government at the level, as I said to you, of chief director, and that's why when it comes to the private sector and stakeholders and civil society, we're not necessarily looking for people with all qualifications of PhDs and so, but there's a fair level of skill that we require, a fair level of technical expertise, and certainly Dr. Son, we thank you for the willingness to present yourself for this interview, and as a candidate for selection, we thank you for your application. And we will present our list of priorities to the minister, and then the ministry will inform you. The committee then approves the final list of the minister. But obviously, once we've interviewed today, the names will be published in the parliamentary processes. So there will be a public statement after we've done the interview. So your name will be stated in public. I don't know if I've answered some of your questions. That's in a quite lengthy way. Honorable Tablan, you'd like to add?
Chairperson, no, I think you've covered it, and I think that is the name of the game. So it's only a matter of patients now. And then we'll get there. Thank you, Jay.
But obviously, you know, when we're done with our interviews, then we don't just give the minister 10 or 12 songs to speak from his thing. We ourselves, we accept that we got our time. It's just not such a strategy. You can wake up one more day and say, and you yourself, you've gone through 18 weeks, you look at your room, you look at your qualifications, you've done a paragraph.
No, thank you very much, Jay, and I'm humbled to have made it this far into the process. Thank you.
And once again, you know, we have different criteria, so when we sit down, we have to make sure that we meet all the criteria, so that this process is absolutely above board, and we can be challenged in court if we do not do so. So my apologies for starting late, because, but as I said to you, I do not believe in redoing something. So when I do it, I want to have 100% confidence that we're doing the right thing. So thank you for your patience. Thank you very much. You are released, and they will make your arrangements, your travel arrangements. Did you fly in this morning?
No, last night.
Last night. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Sorry?
On the time.
On the time for the last one.